Welcome to the Playlist Podcast, a weekly discussion of films and TV. I'm your host, Charles Barfield, managing editor of The Playlist. And as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Mike D'Angelo and Brian Farver. Are you guys ready to talk about trauma and grief through the lens of the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
You make it sound so fun.
Sure.
Okay, great.
Patronus.
For this episode of the podcast, we're going to revisit WandaVision, which we covered briefly at the beginning of its run a couple months ago. And to help us discuss WandaVision, I'd like to welcome Playlist Editor-in-Chief Rodrigo Perez back to the podcast. Thanks for joining us to nerd out, talk about White Vision, Agatha Harkness, S.W.O.R.D., and our mutual love of Kat Dennings.
Man, you spoil that pretty early and pretty fast, huh?
Yeah, okay. Way to go, dude.
I mean, you turn on like any social media, you're going to see White Vision. Guess what? He's there.
That's true.
Deal with it.
I have not seen White Vision on social media once yet.
Oh my God. Many times.
Oh, yeah. All over the place. They've even revealed the Funko Pop figure.
That I saw, but I have not seen one screen grab of White Vision yet.
No, he's there. So 8 of the 9 episodes of WandaVision have aired. The finale's coming this Friday, so it's a great time to give our thoughts about Marvel Studios' first foray into the realm of TV. Basically, the idea for this discussion came about because I realized I was way too harsh about the show at the very beginning, and I felt it's only fair to discuss the series, having seen almost all of the episodes, with a much clearer idea of what Marvel's trying to do with the strange sitcom-inspired story. But before we talk about Westview, talk about sitcoms and dead synthezoid superheroes, I got to tell you that the Playlist Podcast is part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes Be Real, The Fourth Wall, Deep Focus, and more. And if you want to find us, you can check your podcast app of choice, whether that's Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, anywhere else you find your favorite shows. And speaking of shows, later this week, we'll also have an interview with Frank Grillo, where you'll hear Brian and myself and Mike really nerd out with Frank and basically propose our love to him.
That's true. We're best friends now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, true believers, in our first discussion of WandaVision, we'd only seen one episode. Rodrigo, when you wrote your review, you had seen 3. So I'll speak for myself, but the biggest complaint I had at the beginning was the lack of any sort of explanation or hint at what the larger story was. And initially, that wasn't a bad critique because it took 4 episodes for the basic questions to be answered, with each of the subsequent episodes going a bit further. So seeing 8 of the 9 episodes now, one more left. Have your thoughts changed about the series from the beginning? Start with you, Rodrigo.
Yeah, because I'd seen, I think, 3 episodes, I guess, or it was 3 or 4. I can't remember what it was. You know, I could see the glimpses of the trauma and the grief and what that was going to really be about. But in those first 3 episodes, it's like glimpses, right? At best. And the rest of it was, to me, just like playing around with like silly sitcom tropes and no story really. And just being kind of like, oh, we'll be silly with Leave It to Beaver, and then we'll be silly with The Dick Van Dyke Show, and then we'll be silly with I Dream of Jeannie, and then one with The Brady Bunch. And I was just like, there's nothing, you know, it's just them goofing off, you know? So I kind of really disliked the first few episodes, but I tried to be, you know, it's weird when you're reviewing something and you're only reviewing, like, it's like reading a book, but I've only read the first three chapters instead of all 9, right? So you have to sort of guess a little bit and kind of give it a little bit of leeway. But I didn't really love it based on that. But, you know, as the story started to coalesce and come together, and then the themes of grief and trauma came together, and story has been, you know, it's almost done now. I think it's definitely a lot better. And I know other people who feel that way, although I know other people who felt the opposite. But it's almost like I feel like you need to like binge through the first 3 or 4 episodes really quickly to get to the story, and then you could like relax if you wanted to. That said, you know, I guess we'll get into it. I wasn't a big fan of the last episode, which was like the rehash recap therapy episode. But, you know, 4 to 7 have been generally pretty good.
So, Mike, what do you think? You were a fan at the beginning, but have they sold you even more?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's gotten certainly better as it went along. For the most part, each episode has been better than the last. There was maybe 1 or 2 where I was like, it was all right. But, you know, we're getting there. But either way, like from the beginning, I was in just for the sitcom, like delight of it. Like that was the thing I thought I'd be against. Like I was already rolling my eyes with the trailers. But for some reason, I was really entertained and kind of delighted by those first few episodes. That's not to say I didn't want more, but I knew more was coming. So ultimately, I didn't really have any gripes about things needing to get moving further or faster or whatever it was, just because I knew we'd have a lot of time to kind of get this really going. And this past one, the latest episode, previously on episode 8, that was definitely my favorite episode, just because it was all of the emotion of it and all of the why and the what's really going on here. And it has my favorite line in possibly any Marvel project, which is, "But what is grief if not love persevering?"
Rodrigo has thoughts on that.
Holy crap.
It was more just, I like that line. I have a lot of issues with that episode, which is like, I guess if we get into it, it's like, yeah. There's a lot of great stuff about trauma and grief and all of it coming together, and so much great and emotion to it. And to me, it's all undercut by just like fully explaining everything, explaining every moment. It's like a total expository, like, let's take a walk through your past. And it's too on the nose and it's too spoon feeding of information. And it treats the audience like they're idiots, I find. And there's so much good stuff in there that's undercut by the way it's told. Like, I feel like the ideas of the episode are great. And what they're trying to go for and the few emotional moments that they get are really good. But it's just so, it's too long, too. It's like, I wish they could have condensed all of that into just a few minutes and then got on with the episode. It was this really long, slow, expository walk through Wanda's past, explaining every single thing. And I was rolling my eyes on it and felt it was kind of tedious.
Brian, what did you think? Tedious?
Yeah, well, I reflect back on something I said initially, which was, you know, I'm enjoying the journey. You know, it's all about the journey. I said something to that effect. And I stand by that, because there were things that I loved, the little peeks behind the curtain that we would get, you know, peering into S.W.O.R.D. and that whole thing. But at the same time, I love those little moments when you get that really, you know, eerie, sinister feeling in like those early episodes, like those first few commercials. I just thought, oh, this doesn't feel right. I love this feeling. And then, yeah, I'm not going to say that I disliked the last episode, but and again, I'm going to say this because this is an acting powerhouse. I don't get all these people that are saying, oh, who's Catherine Hahn? Like, are you kidding me? Like, I mean, she is great. Don't get me wrong. But like, I mean, she's done great things before. Yeah. Elizabeth Olsen. This is Elizabeth Olsen really coming into her own, not just with the character, but just as an actress. I feel like she's done great things, but that was, I thought she was incredible. But from the moment we heard that, I'm sorry, stupid Agatha All Along song.
You're done.
I was done. I just thought this is horrendous. And you know, like you said, Rodrigo, it was an exposition bath. And
don't you think like the exposition bath of the song Agatha, which is exactly that, is really fun and charming, and is a quick 60-second play on that idea. Really true. Charming and fun, right? This is a whole episode that takes that to like another.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But ultimately it would have felt, don't you think it would have been like cheap and like a quick, like, oh, and by the way, this, and then we're moving on really quick. It's about grief and loss, and she's actively avoiding it this whole time. So isn't it like you're literally tugging all this information out of her, and that's why it's so long, and that's why it kind of worked for me at least. Yeah, I mean, it definitely was long.
Yeah, I like the ideas that it's going for. I just didn't feel like, I didn't think its execution was very good. I thought the writing of it was pretty and remember when we got like old Dick Van Dyke episodes, like, you don't need to spell everything that out. Like, we can glean that they like TV. We don't need to see the exact fucking episode and the exact like moment and everything that they copied on the show. It's like, it's too much, guys. It's like, it's way too on the nose for me.
Yeah. I have a problem with retcons in general. So my problem with the last episode was it went out of its way to say like, yeah, you watched Age of Ultron, but here's what you didn't see. And that sort of thing is always kind of makes my eyes roll. It's like, okay, well, guys.
That's not necessarily a retcon. It's more of like adding information.
That's right. It's not retconning. It's reverse engineering. And I think Marvel does a fantastic job of reverse engineering everything. They take everything and they go the consequence and they fit things into the past. And it's not really a retcon because, yeah, I think it's a total just a smart reverse of engineering of story, which I think they do all the time in the idea of consequences. They're always looking at what happens in Ultron. Ultron begets the Sokovia Accords, right? And it's not even really at reverse engineering. It's just like this is the consequence of what happened before. So each episode has like a major thing that happens, and then there's a consequence later on that happens. You know, Civil War leads to Infinity War. Like all these, I feel like they're really good at doing that. So I feel like it's just a little bit of following those threads and seeing how they can, you know, find stuff. Like I don't really see it as a retcon.
So here's what I mean by that. So I went. And I said this before we started recording, but I went and I just was reading through the Wikipedia of Scarlet Witch, which I don't recommend anybody
Mistake.
Do. It's terrible. But what it does show is when they created her, they gave her these like weird hex powers. And it was just kind of a Deus Ex Machina sort of thing. Like she could save the day, but she can't control it, blah, blah, blah. And in Ultron, they gave her this telepathy and telekinesis. And then now they're trying to reverse engineer this like whole witch element to it, which they did in the comic books too. And it's so ham-fisted that it is kind of annoying when she's like – when Agatha Harkness says, oh, you're the Scarlet Witch. I was like, okay, whatever.
That line I certainly did not like.
Yeah, no. But yeah. I get what they're doing, and I'm glad that they're giving her this like deeper backstory. I just wish that it could have been done in a little bit of a easier way. It felt very manufactured and engineered. And
I think that's fair. I also don't think it's as elegant as it could be.
No, it reeks of we have to go back and fit this in somehow versus this is the story we had all along, because I don't think Joss Whedon had this in mind.
Well, it's obviously
Do
true
we
that,
want
you know,
what Joss Whedon had in mind.
Say what?
I said, do we want what Joss Whedon had in mind?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is everybody knows who's listening, and everybody knows now is that Marvel has the Fox, and they have the ability to make her a mutant. So I think, you know, that's a pretty fair criticism in that they might not be handling that in the most elegant way if that's exactly what they're doing. Although that opens up a lot of questions too, because it's not, as this episode revealed, that's not quite clear. But they certainly could be doing a lot of things that they might not normally do in writing, because they now have an entree to an origin story about this character that they never had before. So maybe that's what you're getting at, Charles.
Right. Well, even in her origins in the comics, she's like, oh, I'm a mutant. And then it's revealed like, oh, but you weren't a mutant. And so it's like even in the comics, they can't decide if she's a mutant or not. So let alone we're not giving people to guess if she is or not in the MCU, I don't think. Yeah, we can talk about that in a bit. I want to get back to the overall season, because it sounds like we're being harsh on it, and that's, you know, one episode does not make a season. So I want to start with Brian. What was your favorite of the homages? You've got a lot of nostalgia. So was there one that stood out? For me, it was the Malcolm in the Middle Halloween episode. But what was it for you?
100% agree. That one felt the most fun, the most genuine. Maybe it was because we were at a certain age when Malcolm in the Middle came out. I don't know. I didn't think the Modern Family type episode was done very well at all, actually. And I did enjoy the ones that came before Malcolm in the Middle a lot, but I just thought, yeah, that one just had an energy to it that really, it flowed nicely from that initial homage into a pretty dark third act. And I mean, the scenes of Vision being pulled apart were, I'll be honest, kind of hard to watch. So like that was definitely the best one. It had a very unique tone that I would have loved to have seen more. And Evan Peters was just fantastic in that episode. Really, really good.
As fake Pietro, Phaetro is what Catherine Hunt called him.
Yes.
Mike, did you have a favorite up?
Yeah, I'm going to completely disagree with you guys and say the Malcolm in the Middle episode, the Halloween one. I don't know what you guys were saying. I wasn't listening, but that one was definitely the best. No, seriously, it was just it had all the gears going at that point. And Evan Peters was absolutely hilarious in it as well. But there was just a lot of different story elements going, and it was obviously the most kind of fun while the actual plot itself was really being pushed forward. So it had a lot going for it. So I completely agree with you guys.
Killed that song. The theme song was definitely the best.
I think it was pretty funny. Yeah.
Rodrigo, did you have an episode that stood out for you?
Not so much in terms of the nostalgia factor. I'll say, though, that like basically 4 to 7, all of those to me are like really great. And I liked all those episodes in the elements of not for their nostalgia, but I just felt like all those episodes are great because the trope that they're using is also feeding into the story. So, for example, like, you know, in the Modern Family, like, you know, I don't have any affection for that show, but I thought it was really well done in terms of like, she's like, oh, doing this interview is like, you know, I got the Mondays, but it's really just saying like, you know, she's losing her marbles, which is germane to the story. So I really enjoyed the way through all those episodes, 4, 5, 6, 7, the family ties stuff, how everything that was a tropey fed into the story that they were telling. Whereas before, like in the first 3 episodes, since there was really no story, it just felt like they were just like I keep calling it like playing house. Like I feel like they were on a set having fun, pretending that they were in these sitcoms, but it wasn't really doing anything. And so I just felt it was much, much more enjoyable. And I gotta agree that Malcolm in the Middle episode, I think all those episodes are really, really strong, really enjoyable. I wasn't a huge fan of the idea of fake Pedro, and I was like sort of bummed when he showed up at the end of that one episode. I think it was 5, but his introduction in the next episode, and every time he's been it thus far, he's really good. So I really enjoyed all that.
Yeah, I agree. I think fake Pietro was kind of genius, actually. I think I read somewhere where Kevin Feige said at the very beginning they were thinking about possibly bringing Aaron Taylor-Johnson back, and clearly that would have been a terrible idea. I think bringing Evan Peters, he fits the mold of what they were trying to go for a lot better. So yeah, very happy that was kind of like a happy accident, being able to get Evan Peters and play into the whole Fox thing and really tease people.
Yeah, so I think it's worked well, but I was definitely like, ugh, I was so against the idea at first, but it's turned out well, so that's good.
Now, you had mentioned, Rodrigo, that you would recommend binging the first probably 4 episodes, which would the 4th episode being the one where they actually show S.W.O.R.D. and introduce all of those people.
Yeah.
I, at the beginning, thought that this would be best binged as well. I'm starting to think that maybe this week-to-week thing is, you know, there's something to it. So do you think that ultimately week-to-week was the way to go, or would you have rather this been a Netflix binge?
I think week to week was the way to go. It just worked against the show for the first 3 episodes. Like, you know, you were really in the dark and you knew that it was some sort of like, you know, this isn't real and there's something going on. But it was too, I don't know, the show didn't even start to me in any real capacity until episode 4. And I thought episode 4 was great. And it started, I was like, oh, okay, here we go, finally, you know, and it was really good.
Mike, Brian, thoughts?
I mean, yeah, like I said at the beginning, I've been pretty much along for the ride for the whole thing. I definitely think that the week to week has been very beneficial for them, just because it's been like the I wouldn't say water cooler kind of conversation show, because who's sitting around a water cooler right now? But maybe it's the Zoom conversation show. Who knows? But yeah, it's just one of those things where it's kept. Every week, it feels like it's more and more and more talked about by not just the fan base, but all kinds of people. And even people that haven't necessarily really engaged with Marvel in the past have been kind of getting into this and then subsequently going back. So it's been interesting to see kind of how fans react.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've enjoyed the week to week. It just maybe it could be just a combination of the, you know, the unique story and the build combined with these homages to classic shows that, you know, you had to always wait every week to see a new episode, that I just got that feeling again, like I used to have when I was younger, of, oh, got to wait till next week. So every time I'd finished an episode of this, I just would feel that again of, oh man, like, obviously there's other streaming shows that have done this as well. Not every show is released in binge format, but this one, I think more than ever, just had me really looking forward to next week. So I've enjoyed that. Week to week has been good.
Well, get used to it, because Marvel's not stopping.
Yeah.
I mean,
like you nailed it on the head. I think it is the water cooler show. It's the virtual one or whatever, but it has captured the zeitgeist. It has become the show of 2021. I don't think anything has been discussed for as long, name one piece of content that has been in the cultural zeitgeist since, since January till now? None, because none have lasted that long, right? Because the conversation on anything lasts about a week. A movie comes out, oh, that's cool, and then boom, it's done. But in doing the weekly format, they've had it for a few weeks now, and they're going to, you know, they'll have it for next, I guess, this Friday, and then it'll probably last another week on top of that. So I think, yeah, this format for them is not going anywhere.
Do you think this is going to work, though, leading into Falcon and Winter Soldier? Like you mentioned, it's almost like a seamless, like one leading into the other. They have 1 week off where they're going to show, I guess, like a behind the scenes episode, and then it's going to go directly into Falcon. Is that enough prep to get people excited about Falcon or what?
I mean, that's a whole other topic, right? I mean,
I'm just curious but it's a thought, right? We had all this time to hype up WandaVision for months, and you can also say it's kind of a confluence of events too, because we had no Marvel for a year and a half, and this is kind of the Marvel.
Yeah, if anything, it's gonna hurt shows down the line when it feels people feel like really it'll hurt like this. If there's any show that comes in the next, probably not Falcon, because it'll still have a minute people still be anticipating, but the third or fourth show, if one of those shows around there, third, fourth, fifth, dips in quality, then people are just going to rip it apart, because especially there's going to be some people who are like sick of Marvel, you know, they're going to be feel really inundated with Marvel this year. And I think there's got like, what, 5 or 6 shows. So, yeah.
Are we dubbing that the Iron Fist effect?
That's not fair, because Iron Fist was genuinely terrible.
Yeah, we're looking at Jeremy Renner.
I'm thinking of something that's maybe not so bad, but gets slammed because people are sick of Marvel, you know, whereas Iron Fist is just genuinely fucking horrible. But yeah, I mean, that could happen.
Yeah, it's Hawkeye. We can say it, right? Like it's Jeremy Renner's gonna sing the theme song, we're all gonna roll our eyes, and it's just, yeah.
It's going to be like Imagine Dragons.
Okay, so let's get back to WandaVision real quick. Rodrigo, I know you have a soft spot for Catherine Hahn. We all do. Did her Agatha Harkness / Agnes enhance your love of her? And do you think Agatha Harkness is going to last past WandaVision in the MCU?
I don't know. I mean, Hahn's great. I think she was great, but I don't think she's as vital to the show, or I don't think she's increased it or made it any better. I think it's a great show, regardless of how much I like her. I think Catherine Dennings is awesome. I think the two actors have been really great, and as you guys mentioned, they've finally had the room to stretch their wings and really come into their own with these roles in a way that obviously they never had the opportunity in the past because they were smaller. So yeah, I mean, I think it's great, and it's just more of an added bonus with her, but she's honestly not my favorite. Like, I think I like Kat Dennings a lot better than him, just because I really have found this like really great affection for this character. I think she's really awesome, and I love the way she's kind of grown into a person, as you know, who used to be this sort of like the Jane Foster sort of lackey dumb kid, and now she's really becoming. She's still got that person who she is, this kind of like chip on her shoulder, cheeky kind of kid, but she's really also coming to her own as a person. And I found that kind of amusing and entertaining to watch. As of whether Agatha goes on for longer, I don't think so. And I have my theories about that, but yeah.
We'll talk about that in a bit. But Mike, you love Kat Dennings, right?
I'm going to be honest. She might be my least favorite Marvel character, but that's totally fine. I don't begrudge anyone from enjoying her little jokes. So that's,
I think that of the characters that we've seen thus far that have been affected by the 5-year jump, I think Kat Dennings' Darcy has benefited the most, because we skipped that whole like that awkward, she was like the sidekick phase, and now she basically is Jane Foster, and I dig it because she's a lot more interesting in terms of the story than Jane Foster was in the Thor movie. So,
well, yeah, that, and she's not surrounded by whatever Thor the Dark World was, so that's totally true. Helps her as well.
Brian, you did not like Agatha all along. Other than that, do you dig what Catherine Hahn's doing as the villain?
No.
Really?
No. Wow. No. Just being honest. That's not me saying that she's bad or that she's doing a bad job.
It's what you're saying.
It is what I'm saying. But she she's fallen into the typical Marvel villain trap where I loved everything she was bringing to the table up to this point. And then this last episode, which I'll give more to Elizabeth Olsen than anything else, she just felt it was just typical. I'm not going to say mustache twirling, but it was just, you know, I wasn't, I wasn't scared. I wasn't threatened. It was just,
yeah.
One could argue that she's not even a villain.
She's a little over top as when she's the villain now, right? She's like this kind of like campy kind of thing.
Oh God. When I saw her eyeliner, I'm sorry guys, but when I saw her eyeliner, I was like, you look ridiculous. Come on.
Oh,
wipe that off and do something else.
Brian's going to have to get off the internet for a while because there's going to be some hate. People love Catherine Hahn and you're trashing her eye makeup.
No. She's awesome. But yeah, the makeup had to go. Catherine, if you're listening, we'll work something out.
She's not listening, but that's okay. Okay, so let's spend a little time talking about what we think is going to happen in this final episode. And I want to preface this by saying that I was doing some math in my head before we started recording. And there was a quote that Kevin Feige said, I guess last week, where he was talking about how they structure these shows. And he said that because of the cost, they've got about 6 hours of content for each of these shows. Some of them will have like 10 episodes that are like 30 minutes. Some of them will have 6 1-hour long episodes like Falcon and Winter Soldier. Well, we've had 8 episodes now, each roughly about 30, 35 minutes, which by my calculation gives us about 4.5 hours. Does that mean that this final episode is possibly feature length? Thoughts?
That, or is that long rumored 10th episode real?
What do you think?
I don't know.
I don't think
it is a Marvel move, but I don't. Yeah, I don't know that they sandwich the documentary and a 10th episode there. No. So I don't think it'll be 1.5 hours, though.
I don't think it'll be feature length, and I don't think there's a 10th. It'll probably be about like 45 minutes or something.
Is that enough time to wrap this up? You're going to introduce this White Vision character, try to give his backstory, and then resolve it all in 45 minutes? I don't know.
That's true. I mean, there's still some, there's the Monica thing to figure out, the Pietro. What is the deal with Pietro? We know he's fake, but where did he and Monica go in that last episode? So there's that whole thing. There's what Vision becomes and what, I mean, I have full on theories that I don't know if we want to get into it, but
yeah, do it. Go for it.
There's a lot of, you're right. There is a lot of stuff to figure out, and maybe you're right. Maybe it should be, you're probably right. Actually, you're making the good, strong case of why it should be longer than 1 hour, but I'm doubtful that it will be.
Well, we had always said that this is going to end in a Marvel movie.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, you're saying feature length. Are you saying like a 2 hour movie or something?
Hour
like,
and a half. Yeah.
I mean, that would be great, honestly, but I don't think it'll happen. I'd be pleasantly surprised if it does.
All right. Well,
didn't they release like the episode length at some point this week? Maybe it was just rumors.
Yeah, you kind of not trust that. Because remember at one point they said like, oh, yeah, the last 3 episodes are 60 minutes each. And like,
yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely not. Well, so one of the things that has to be revealed, I think, is this White Vision thing. We've been talking about it. But for those who aren't like nerds about the comics, White Vision is a comic book version of the character that is devoid of emotion. After Vision is kind of wiped out, his memories erased, he's rebuilt as this kind of like pure Vision without that, you know, human element. So where do you guys think that this is going? Is this going to be Vision on Vision fighting? Are we going to, you know, is White Vision the Vision of the future?
I mean, I have pictures in my head of this Superman 3-esque fight.
Please no.
Hey, wait a minute. I love that fight. It's the only good part of that movie. That said, yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be something like that. And honestly, we're probably going to get a very typical ending to this whole thing. I'll still happily watch this thing, but yeah, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a Vision on Vision fight and other stuff's going to happen. And I don't know. It's not that I'm not excited. I'm not trying to come off that way. I'm just, now we're in, you know, for what started as something so cool is now so cliche.
Put that it's on a Marvel.
Eyeliner Marvel could show. Make Brian so jaded.
Okay. Mike, do you have any thoughts on White Vision?
I mean, it's clearly going to be like a tool for the villains, basically. Mm-hmm. And I would be surprised if there wasn't a Vision versus Vision fight. And then ultimately you had to say goodbye to both of them because
so no Vision moving forward.
No way. What would be the point of getting Wanda through all this if you're just like, you know what? We have a Vision.
Yeah.
But that was Rodrigo and I have talked about this, and Rodrigo thinks that the Vision's dead too, right? Like not coming back.
It's either Vision's dead or the Vision that lives on is the White Vision, who has no emotional connection or history to Wanda whatsoever. And both of those scenarios are a huge additional exacerbated trauma to her, which is what the show is exactly about. So this show, to me, has to end in tragedy, because that's what we've been pointing to, and we've been pointing to a thing that she's already, you know, been racking and suffering with her grief. So this is, to me, definitely. I mean, I would be shocked if it didn't, but to me, this is going to end in tragedy. It's going to, like, it's going to super exacerbate her trauma. It's going to go into overload. And that line that's already been hinted, like, you know, she's like, you're going to, don't do this. You'll be the villain. And she said, how do you know I'm not already? And it's because, you know, it's to me, it's directly pointing that she's going to be the villain moving forward. And that's what's going to happen in Doctor Strange number two. And so, best case scenario, she gets White Vision, who's like, I don't know who you are. And she's like, ah, you know, and probably her kids die too, because what are they even? Like, they're not, unless they're just other children that have been mind controlled, but we have seen that they weren't, right? So they're some sort of construct that might not be real.
Mephisto.
The Vision.
Yeah, but that's part of the comics as well.
What is even the Vision, right? Like, not White Vision, the other Vision. He's like, he's, because we know it's not the Vision that, that died. That's the White Vision, right? He's the robot. This is something that I guess she created from herself, because she's got some sort of mind stone in her. But we already saw that that Vision basically died if he left the Hex. So he sort of seems, you know, I don't think he can live outside of that. And that probably means to me that Tommy and the other kid are probably some sort of constructs that can't live outside the Hex either. So to me, this is all going to end extremely poorly, and it's going to trigger her in this horrible way. And she's going to go next level to bad guy.
Yeah, I'm 100% on the same page there. Especially, it's going to go to the point where possibly another hero is the one that ends up kind of separating Vision from her entirely, and that would be her no more heroes kind of moment.
With the no more mutants thing?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, so I think White Vision is the Vision of the future. I think that that is the only way it can end, because you're right. The Vision that exists in the Hex can't leave the Hex. The Hex is going to go, so therefore that Vision can't be in existence. I am hopeful that what will happen is it's not going to be like this purely robotic kind of sinister Vision. I'm hoping that they do finally introduce Wonder Man or Simon Williams.
Yeah, that's how you get to that, right?
And you have her merge some sort, like the merging of the personalities, and you create this Vision that has kind of a good personality, but just none of the Wanda love yet. And they can either start fresh or kind of go their separate ways. As far as the kids go, in the comics, this has happened, and you got to assume that they're going to pull from this because it just fits so perfectly. But there's a point in the comics where the kids are revealed to be just, I think they called their, like an hysteric pregnancy or something like that, where Wanda just kind of started to lose her mind, created these kids out of nothing with her chaos magic. And you find out that they were imbued with some sort of soul because of Mephisto, which is the name that every comic nerd has been talking about for 8 weeks now. And if they wanted to introduce him, they could introduce him that way, that he was kind of the big, big bad behind Agatha, behind the kids, behind Pietro, behind,
you know. Think that would be so eye groaning and eye rolling to, like, we've already had, like, it was me all along, wink wink, to have another person on top of that. I mean at this point,
episode was just like, yeah, sure, it was kind of Agatha all along, but really it was Wanda all along, right.
Totally. So exactly, like, you know, the Agatha all along was almost kind of a red herring, right? Because it's not Agatha all along. It was Wanda. And with Agatha doing some stuff. So then, to me, that's the story. It's all laid out. To add any brand new characters now, and to anybody to go, oh, guess what? It was actually me, would be atrocious writing, and it would be bad. It would be, you know, we have no emotional connection to these characters. We have with Agatha, she's been there, you know, like, I feel like the story is laid out. It's between Agatha, it's Wanda, and whatever happens between Vision and the sword guys, you know, like that's, and I guess Monica fits into there at some level. Although I feel like Monica's been really shortchanged in this whole thing, and she's more of a tool and a cipher than she is a character. And although she did get that great intro in that, the intro of the episode that first brought her back, which was awesome. But yeah, I don't know. I don't even know how important she's going to be to this last episode, because I feel like if she did much, she's going to get in the way, you know, like she's not really there.
I think what you'll end up having is possibly Wanda kind of losing her mind and kind of just the world kind of falling apart, kind of like what we saw hints in a Modern Family episode. And then you'll see Monica having to be the hero and maybe fight the White Vision or whatever, just to, you know, try to protect them.
I think you're right. But I think she's probably just still going to be a tool to save the day or make sure people don't die. And there's not going to be much to her. And she's, I feel like that's the one thing about all the new episodes I haven't liked, is I feel like they're just, they've found a way to sandwich her in there so they can get her to Captain Marvel too.
Yeah.
And I feel that's really underwritten and underused, although she's been good, but yeah, I don't know. I feel like they haven't really ultimately done as much as they could with her because she's not really the story.
No, yeah, I think
that's the beauty of the Marvel universe though.
Right.
Is you stick around long enough, eventually you might get a WandaVision and all of a sudden a character who's had 20 minutes across how many fucking films is now she's got her own thing and is blowing everybody's minds. So it could happen, you know, it's just not her show, like you said.
I think they wanted to set the stage and give her a basis, kind of like what they did with Black Widow and Iron Man 2, and then just kind of hand her off and say, you know, here's kind of this blank slate, have fun with her. We gave her powers.
I do hope if White Vision sticks around, they have him inexplicably kind of clingy to Wanda, but not in a way that, you know, anybody would be. It's not overt, so he's like in the background of all the scenes in Doctor Strange 2, just kind of in the bushes, just kind of peeking out like, hey.
I feel like what Charles was talking about with the Wonder Man stuff, I feel like that stuff, that's one thing that they could do, but there's no way they're going to sandwich that into this final episode. Like, I feel like, yes, it could be, we could be left with White Vision and he could be a blank slate. And yes, that seems like the perfect opportunity to, because he's going to be, he'd be a terrible character, right? He'd just be a boring, completely terrible character. And what way to bring him back and make him interesting again and introduce someone is to do Wonder Man at some point. But I don't see that happening now. Like, that's, to me, that would be something that would happen down the road as a way to create character development for Vision down the road.
Okay, so you're segueing perfectly into my next question, which is, who is the aerospace engineer? We still have one character that is going to be introduced in this final episode.
I thought that introduced.
Who?
I thought so too.
The woman?
Yeah, it was just the woman.
No.
Everyone was like, who is it going to be? Reed Richards. Oh, it's just that chick.
Oh, yeah, you're right. She might be the one who helped do this whole thing, right?
No.
Well, the other thing, I mean, God, if we want to do a whole side segment on theories and bullshit, it's like people have canon themselves into thinking that, like, you know, Reed Richards, Magneto, the thing, and all the X-Men are showing up at the end. Yep.
And they are.
Just like, my God, like what people, like their damaged galaxy brains, what they've done to themselves. And what that must be doing to their expectations, because everybody is just like, you know what I mean? Like, kind of some people anyhow have ruined the show for themselves with their expectations of what they thought was going to happen.
So so here's the thing though. It can't be that woman, because Tiana Paris said that, you know, it's going to blow their mind when you find out who it is.
No, did she?
She quoted saying it's going to be in this season.
Oh God.
Because what, you're gonna let's say it's Reed Richards. Let's say fine. You're gonna introduce him all of a sudden again. Any kind of ta-da, it's me, is gonna like seem really, really, at this point when you got all the story that we've been talking about, you got to get through. You can't introduce a new character. I mean, that
I
would
hope
be
they do crazy. Say ta-da, it's me. If they do.
That would be a cat.
Well, that would be do that with that kind of writing. You might as well add the ta-da.
Yeah. No, I read a theory that kind of was like, oh, that makes sense. It's the Blue Marvel, which is a really kind of like lesser known character, but has like romantic ties to Monica and has an engineering background. Like, people just laid it out where this is the person it has to be. So I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. It isn't a ta-da moment by any stretch, but for comic nerds, it's kind of cool. But if it's just that woman, that's really lame.
I mean, I mean, if it's like,
I don't even remember her name.
Let's say a cleanup
that thing woman
at the end of the show or something. And when, like, you know, Sword is coming in to clean up the mess and some guy's like, are you okay? Like, let me take you into a vax. I'm so-and-so who happens to be Blue Marvel. Like, okay, maybe that. But, like, I don't see anything more than anything like that for any character. You know what I mean? I don't think it could be anything more than that.
Okay, so there is still then one mind-blowing character, right? The Luke Skywalker that everybody's been talking about. So what do you guys think? Who do you think it is?
Didn't someone say that Paul Bettany is just like he meant himself?
I did see that.
Act opposite himself. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, and he was fucking around the whole time because they kind of have to fuck around and they have to, like, you know.
Okay, that'd be brilliant.
That's pretty amazing.
Because at this point, again, like, are we really gonna, you know, fucking Al Pacino like as Mephisto or whatever? Like you can't really do that now. I guess you can. I would be so weirded out and shocked if they did that. I feel like, you know, we've said it. They've got a lot of story to get through, a lot of character, a lot of emotional stuff. It's important. You can't half-ass it with, like, introducing some sort of weird bad guy all of a sudden. So I think he was maybe just fucking around.
He may have shot himself in the foot by getting all these fans hyped. And really all it was is just a joke in an interview.
Maybe. I mean, as we've seen, like, all this stuff, people take this stuff so literally and crazy and insane, and they blow it up and they get Kane on with it. And then, you know, it's like Reed Richards, Magneto, Pacho is the Fox, and that means the whole Fox verse is coming back. And these are things that people believe, you know? Like,
no, you're right. And I just – here's my thing. If you want to, like, be coy and silly, that's fine. But do it with basically a wink. Don't sit there in multiple interviews and be like, oh, it's so great. I can't wait to act up opposite this person. We had fireworks on set. Like, all of this is – like quotes he said, and then it's just him fucking around saying, well, I just love myself. That's
my guess, but
right. I gotta think that it's somebody, right?
It's Catherine Hahn. It was Agatha all along.
Oh god. Like, I mean, they could have gotten away with it if it was Evan Peters. That would have been the cool, like, oh, that's kind of neat. But yeah, I don't think it's Reed Richards. I'm not going to say that Kevin Feige is going to sit there and shoehorn in a Fantastic Four introduction in the last episode of WandaVision. But, you know, Simon Williams, it could be, you know, any of the, maybe even like a Mark Ruffalo or somebody, you know,
if you mentioned like if a Wonder Man or a Blue Marvel showed up and it was just because of like, who their identity is and they mentioned them in passing or something and it happened to be like a fairly big casting thing, I suppose I can see that, I guess. But again, I don't see some sort of major appearance by anybody.
Okay, fair enough. Not even Doctor Strange.
Oh, well, yeah, that could be one. I mean, I think, but didn't he say that that's not it?
I don't know. Again, who knows? Now you've thrown all of this into question. Said,
and I'm not talking about Doctor Strange. Although it would make perfect sense for Doctor Strange to come at the very end and being like, Wanda, what the fuck are you doing? Come with me into this other dimension.
Your Benedict Cumberbatch is spot on.
You're really good. You come up on my bad magic radar, so come with me. You're in trouble, right?
Like, if you showed up and said, Wanda, what the fuck are you doing? I would love it. I would love it.
And Wong is there just rolling his eyes the whole time. Yeah. Well, okay. So we know that this is all leading to WandaVision's going to end. We don't think there's going to be season two, right? Can we all agree? No season two?
No.
Okay. So this is all leading into Doctor Strange 2, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So where does Wanda fit in? Rodrigo, you think she's the big bad or you think she's
I think she's the big bad for sure. Whether she becomes the big bad of the MCU or not remains to be seen. I think they can certainly go there if they want her. I think she's obviously, we're seeing her powers get to a level that are sort of unprecedented and more powerful than anyone anticipated. So I think she could be like, I mean, she fucked with Thanos at the end of Endgame. I think she could be a Thanos level kind of threat for the MCU if they wanted to. And I certainly think there's, every time heroes go against heroes, it's always emotionally loaded, right? Because they're your friends, they're your allies, they're your comrades, you fought alongside them. Everybody's going to have that kind of, you know, I think it's a great way to go. They may not necessarily do that. They might introduce some other villain in Doctor Strange 2 that sort of maybe complicates the situation or something. But I feel like it's really, think about all your favorite MCU moments, and they probably come down to like heroes against heroes whenever they fought, you know, they're just so really satisfying, and a lot of it comes from comics or at least are inspired by it. So I think they can do a lot of the stuff, that stuff. And I think it's pretty interesting to see how Doctor Strange is becoming kind of the linchpin of the Marvel Universe and such an important character, given he's going to show up in Spider-Man. He's going to be, obviously, he's this movie's connected to him. And, you know, with Black Panther gone, which I think that they were going to shift to and make the most central MCU character, the new Cap, we might be seeing a shift where, like, Doctor Strange is, like, you know, the kind of the Tony Stark, at least, you know, maybe if there's a Cap and a Tony, I think Doctor Strange will certainly be one of them.
Interesting.
He's got the goatee for it.
He does have the goatee.
Yes.
Brian, what do you think? Where does Wanda fit into Doctor Strange?
Oh, yeah. I think I agree. She would be an awesome big bad, because those moments of menace that we've seen, really starting from the moment where she stormed out of the Hex, I thought that was a really cool scene that really just set the stage for how potentially evil she could be. And I'm fully on board with her being the main baddie in that one, and I'm all for it. I like her way more than old Agatha, and we all know that.
Mike, do you think that she's the big bad?
No, she's gonna body switch into Catherine Hahn, and then Catherine Hahn's gonna take over from there, just to make Brian more miserable.
All right.
Yeah. But honestly, I think that's the way it's got to go. And if it is just leading into a buddy team up Doctor Strange movie between Doctor Strange and Wanda, that I don't really want to see that. But maybe they can make it fun.
Why would they be buddies? Why would they be friends? They've never
exactly.
It's all pointing to, like, he's already. What do we look? Like, every time we've seen him, right? It's like, you know, Thor Odinson, why are you here with, you know, Loki? Like, why are, you know what I mean? It's every time he shows up, it's like in a guardian kind of protecting, like, and he's also Stark in the way that he's arrogant, right? So he's like, that could be a very good, like, if they're setting up archetypes and they wanted to continue that kind of thing, he fits in as the perfect kind of, like, you know, know-it-all jackass, right? I mean, that's what was great about Infinity War, him and the friction that that him and Stark faced against each other the entire time, right? They hated each other, but they had to work.
Saving your reality, douchebag.
Yeah, exactly. There's going to be some great fun character friction with that. And to me, it's like, why would he be? But if at best, it's like, hey, Wanda, your powers are out of control. I need to, like, help you and mentor you. But it's, I mean, that's what Doctor Strange, he's not a friendly, he's not a fun guy. He's not somebody who hangs out. He comes up to, like, police people and to be like, what is going on here? Are you a threat? What are you doing here? It's my job to, you know, control whatever the sanctum and blah, 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 this and that. That's who he is, right? He's a bit of a hard ass in that sense. So I don't see any other, that at least is the doorway into why he shows up at all, whether it's in this or the story continues in the next one. But it shows up to be him sort of like being like, yeah, you tripped my alarm or whatever. What the fuck is going on? You know?
So I don't think she's going to be the big bad. My theory goes to the fact that I think at the end of this, we're going to have a Vision that doesn't remember her or is completely dead. And her kids are going to be revealed to be kind of a figment of her imagination or a result of her chaos powers and not real. So when the Hex falls, she loses everything again. And I think what this will tie into is I think we can see her now with her vast chaos magic being able to maybe rip a hole in the universe or the multiverse and go on a search for, like, a reality where her kids are real. And we could see that tripping the sort of Sorcerer Supreme alarms, leading to Doctor Strange being involved when he sees this kind of person, like, just randomly going through universes on some sort of, like, grief spree. That could be it. But I really don't think they can, after making her such a sympathetic character, to then just turn her fully bad. I don't think it works.
No, she would ultimately be manipulated probably by, like, a Mephisto type character, but I don't think they'd make her, like, permanently a villain.
I mean, I think that's a really good theory in terms of, because it still applies to everything. It's like, she's out of control right now, right? She's not necessarily a bad guy. She's out of control and she needs, like, guidance, right? And who better in the magic realm to give her some guidance than Doctor Strange?
See, and I think that's what it is. And I think, you know, the villain's probably just going to be, you know, some sort of Dormammu, sort of Baron Mordo, you know, guy
right.
in the shadows.
Well,
and
it's going to be him with her out of control, a villain, and then something of her, like, maybe, like, somewhere in between, not necessarily his ally, not necessarily a bad guy, but not necessarily helping the situation because she's out of control. Like, if this is ending where we think it's ending, her trauma and her grief is going to be at like an hysterical level all over again, you know?
Yeah. Well, so just to wrap up, to talk about the end of this show, we're kind of all in agreement that it's not going to be good for WandaVision or for Wanda. Is that a Marvel ending? Like, they've only really done one ending that didn't end with, like, you know, sort of this happy world is okay ending.
And it worked like Infinity gangbusters, War. Though.
It yeah, did, right. But yes. That was with the promise of a sequel. What's the point of WandaVision if it ends with just utter heartbreak?
This is also
a sequel. That's Doctor Strange, yeah, too. Exactly. That's where the story continues.
You really? Okay. It's
storytelling, dude.
Yep. Yeah,
I guess I should be that person because I did read the comics for years since I was a kid. So I know this idea that the story never ends. But then this whole idea of this WandaVision story, you know, I don't see a world where Jack Schaefer pitched this to Marvel and said, oh, and then at the end, we're not going to answer. It's not going to be a happy ending. It's just going to lead into Doctor Strange too.
Yeah, but
and the big cameo is Agent Coulson.
The show, it was something that Kevin Feige was like, I want a WandaVision show. It needs to get me from A to B, and I want you to write it and come up with all this stuff.
Okay. I get you guys are probably right. I just hold out hope that, you know, this is going to tell a story. I don't want it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, rainbows and unicorns, but I also want it to have some sort of like resolution.
Oh, that'd be a good ending too.
Yeah. That's why I don't write Marvel shows.
I mean, it doesn't have to end in total tragedy. It can still end in some sort of spot where it just feels like, you know, Doctor Strange or whoever still has to do the same kind of guidance, and it doesn't have to be all horrible. I just think that, to me, that's good, rich emotional storytelling. It's maybe going to hurt or whatever, but, like, you've been teasing trauma and grief. Why don't you really go there, you know? And like, it's like, don't chicken out just because you want to give some sort of happy ending. Like, honor the story you're telling. To me, that's – you got all the – you set up the incredible ingredients for this thing. Like, just go for it. I would do that.
Yeah, but, you know, the last time we saw Wanda before the show was in Endgame, and she's, like, standing there with Hawkeye, and they're talking about their dead lovers or their dead loves. And it's really kind of depressing and sad, and, you know, and then we see her at the beginning of this, and she's kind of a wreck because she lost Vision. As much as I think it's the best ending for her to just kind of be emotionally wrecked again, I just think that, boy, we're just, like, kind of running her through the ringer, right? Like,
poor Wanda.
Poor it's Wanda.
Not sad. And
this time we're killing Vision and her kids.
Maybe it's more like, rather than sad, it's sort of like a dark, tragic, like, all right, I'm fucking pissed now, and I'm going to cause some fucking hellfire. And it's more like a scary, kind of dangerous, like, oh shit, you know what I mean? So it's like, yes, it's a tragedy what's happened to her, but maybe it even ends on a darker note that it's not necessarily, because like you're saying, the last time we saw her was sad. I don't know if it's going to be sad in the same kind of way. You know what I mean? It could be like a kind of like, oh shit.
Yeah. I was thinking more of a rage kind of ending. Yeah.
I feel like there's got to be some major catharsis for her trauma and grief to be really revealed. Like, we haven't seen it other than glimpses throughout this whole show. And like, we did see it once, right? In Endgame, you took everything from me, and she fucking lost her shit. And she like was about to destroy and beat Thanos if it wasn't for, you know? So I think like when she like has a moment to really use her rage and to use her powers in a way that's like we didn't even get that full moment because of what Thanos did, right? He like he, you know, all the
hellfire missiles, or whatever,
rain, yeah. Hellfire, yeah.
Yeah, that was his like get out of jail free card that like saved his ass, but he was about to be toast. So I think we could see something along the lines of that, where again we get this another massive. Unleashing a power that causes some crazy destruction and maybe kills some characters in the end, like Agatha or something like that, you know?
Well, Agatha's toast. We know what Marvel does to villains.
Yeah. You never know. She might stick around.
I'd love her to. I think Marvel should keep the villains. Look at what they're doing with Zemo, right? Like, I think if you keep the villains, just have them on the shelf, you know, just in case. And Catherine Hahn's so good, you can just keep her around. She can, like, you know, turn herself into a rabbit and, like, hop off at the end. I don't know. Brian, will you be judging the makeup that Wanda wears harshly for the next episode?
No. I actually quite like her overall look. I think she. I think. Okay, never mind. No,
her look is always changing.
Yeah.
Just like her accent and her hair color. That was one thing. The hair color was so stark in like the flashbacks and stuff they showed.
It was.
I watched Ultron. Ultron was on like FX recently, and she basically has black hair. And then she's like, you know, just dyeing it ginger for whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with that, I think it's time to wrap up this discussion.
With that.
With that, yes. Any final thoughts? Anything? Oh, how about this? What would make this ending utterly horrible? Is it the happy ending? Can we agree that that's the worst ending possible?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. You know, just give us, I mean, you know, we were talking about, like you were saying that, you know, what is like, almost like what is the right Marvel ending here? And I don't know, we're in a brave new world now post Endgame. So let's keep that going and just keep pulling the rug off from under us. I'm all for it. Keep on surprising us. The show was absolutely something out of left field. So why shouldn't the ending be just as gnarly? I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means that we go ultra dark, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Or it leads directly into the Snyder Cut and everything. Just fucking
that's off. The big reveal is Henry Cavill at the end. Kind of looking Shazam, it's just his neck down. Yeah, we don't see his head. Oh, that would blow people's minds, and I'm there for it.
He says, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Or at the very end, you just see it was directed by Zack Snyder this whole time.
I mean, can we kind of agree, if you're going to ask that question, what would be horrible? Like, one more person that's like, I was actually, it was me all along.
No more me all along.
As much as the Mephisto thing has been kind of a meme, I really hope that it's not Evan Peters as Mephisto. And, you know, that's like the big reveal, because that would be kind of ridiculous. To me, that would be kind of the worst ending. Or this whole like Vision is back to his normal, you know, Paul Bettany self at the end would also be, I think, a pretty terrible ending. All right, guys. Well, I want to thank Rodrigo for joining us and nerding out for a bit of time talking about WandaVision. Thank you, Mike and Brian. And we'll be watching this on Friday. And just remember, if we see a Mephisto appearance, or if it was Reed Richards, or if everything is happy at the end, you're going to have four very unhappy people. So, yeah, you've been warned, Marvel.
Those screams that you hear, like, across, like, the you know, in the... You hear a scream across the street, it's going to be us. The voice is scaring.
I will immediately go to Rodrigo's Twitter, where I'm sure you'll rant for
a day. Again, you know, like all this stuff is like how it's executed. Maybe Pietro is Mephisto, and the way it's done is believable and not so bad. You know, in theory, it's like, God, I don't want any more of that on top of that. But who knows? Maybe they can pull it off.
Yeah, probably not. all right, guys. thanks for joining me, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye. Here's me trying to be optimistic and forget it.
Nope. No place for optimism here. Yep.